Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
All right, we are back, and continuing today's reflections on President Obama a year after his historic election, I found a really interesting article that took a different tact on looking at where Obama is at this point in his presidency. On the line with me now is Russ Baker, and I got to interview Russ a few months back on his book. His latest book is called Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. And Family of Secrets will be out in paperback next week, so we're timely there. Russ is also a journalist and founder of the nonprofit reporting website whowhatwhy.com. And today, as we reflect on the year since President Obama was historically elected our 44th president, we're doing a lot of sort of just reflection and looking back at you know, the candidate versus the president and all that. But Russ, you wrote a piece on truthout.org earlier this week, putting forth a perspective that I have not seen or heard from anyone else. The piece is entitled "What Obama Is Up Against." And when I started reading, and I thought, all right, it's going to be, you know, the pushback from the right and his attempts for bipartisanship. But that's not where you're going with this piece at all. What is Obama up against?
Well, he's up against all kinds of things, of course. The focus of my most recent article is a theme that runs throughout Family of Secrets, and that is about the sustained power of what the Republican General Dwight Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. Mm. You know, Nicole, we talk about all kinds of things, but I think it's human nature to always sort of avoid the elephant in the room. You know, and that's what we're dealing with there. Presidents, you know, we like to think of presidents as these individual actors on the stage of history. We choose them, they come in, and then they do battle with their visible opposition. But in fact, it's really quite different than that. The military industrial complex in all of its facets, and I'm including there this giant new homeland security apparatus, the enormous intelligence apparatus with its black budget of hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and then the enormous share of the American economy that involves contracts from the military. And most people don't realize how big that is. But if you've got any kind of company at all, you could be a toy company, you could make cars and trucks, you could provide baked goods, your largest client is probably going to be the U.S. military. And so there is this tremendous maw to be fed, and it always has to be fed, or if it's going to be eliminated, it's going to radically restructure our entire economy. And so what I'm focusing on is the pressure from that entity, if you will, on Barack Obama, as it has been on every president.
Yes, and this is the sort of pressure that perhaps he didn't realize he was up against until he actually got into office. Am I making excuses for him here, or is that a reality?
You know, I think as a candidate, you don't really have a whole lot of time to reflect on the more complex realities of the world and of being president. Plus, of course, he hadn't been president, so maybe he didn't know. But every president has discovered what they are up against, and in Family of Secrets and in this article, I stress the nature of the beast. I mean, first of all, of course, there are all of these companies, and if you look at, let's say, private equity, these huge firms like Carlyle Group, you know, that invest in all of these military contractors, and of course the pressure from shareholders in you know, General Motors and what have you, Raytheon and so on, to get more contracts. pressure is tremendous, but there's also the internal pressure, and that's something I'm even more interested in. The U.S. military, the spy apparatus and so on, these are very poorly understood, rather opaque institutions with tremendous turf battles, fiefdoms and so on. A lot of the people in there are lifers, and they have a very different perspective on what their priorities are. And what we have seen is that every president, when they tried to buck this apparatus, they got in trouble. And as you know, in Family of Secrets, I actually document some of these examples. I go back and even Roosevelt and Truman faced insubordination and other problems. Eisenhower himself, a general, warned about this when as he left office. John F. Kennedy was constantly being undermined by this sector. That's something I devote about 4 chapters to in the book. Jimmy Carter tried to rein in the CIA and stop its illegal activities, and he ended up being a one-term president in part because of dirty tricks by the intelligence apparatuses. You had many presidents who faced this kind of problem. Even Richard Nixon, most people don't know this, but he ended up being under tremendous pressure from the Pentagon. They even had a secret spy ring inside the White House stealing documents from Nixon's people and bringing them back so they could find out about his secret negotiations that he and Henry Kissinger were conducting to try to achieve peace with America's enemies. So this is a huge, huge problem, and it is always there in the background.
Yeah, this is a pretty dark, ominous piece that you wrote. And again, as I said from at the start, a viewpoint that I'm not hearing from other people. And so much of it goes to the super secret CIA. Many of us on the left, myself included, have been very critical of President Obama for his non-action on going after the torturers. And I'm not talking about the low-level enlisted personnel who I believe were following orders, but up the ranks to the people who actually ordered this behavior. But from your piece, it looks like there are much more powerful forces at work inside the CIA. And the president that, you know, the people who say he can't cross the CIA kind of have it right.
You have to understand that the CIA was even created under false pretenses. The original idea, we had never had a peacetime civilian intelligence apparatus. And at the end of World War II, after World War II, we had the National Security Act of 1947, FDR had not wanted one. Truman was reticent. They persuaded him that this would basically be something that would gather information for the benefit of the president to make decisions. We can see how far away from that we got. But in any case, he was quite confident that this was not going to be anything else. And in fact, years later, Truman himself said that he regretted signing off on this agency because it turned into this monster of proactive covert operations, and of course all over the world, including deep sixing democratically elected regimes everywhere, and serving consistently the interests of large corporations and the wealthy. And this is just how a lot of that serves the interests of democracy, of ordinary Americans, is really, really doubtful. But they've never allowed this conversation to take place. And it's interesting, by the way, that the origins of the CIA are with the crowd around the Bush family. And in Family of Secrets, I go into that at some length, that Robert Lovett, the sort of architect or father of the CIA, was actually a business partner in the investment banking firm of Brown Brothers Harriman with Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush. And so they designed this basically to look after the interests of their interests and the interests of their class. I don't think they ever saw this as a vehicle for furthering democracy principally or making the world safe for the kind of values that we all hold. It was something very, very different entirely.
Russ Baker is with us. We're talking about his piece on truthout.org called What Obama is Up Against, and it all ties into his book, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years, which will be out in paperback on November 10th. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more from Russ Baker in a moment.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio. Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
We're back with Russ Baker talking about a piece that he published on truthout.org at the beginning of the week as we look back on the year since President Obama was elected president. 1 year has passed today. And Russ has an interesting take in his piece, What Obama is Up Against, that I really haven't heard anybody else talk about. And the problem with his seeming impotence on so many levels might be that he is not the most powerful man in the free world, that there's sort of a shadow government. Is that sort of what you're saying, that the CIA and the military-industrial complex is much more powerful behind the scenes than we want to believe or know?
Yeah, I mean, in many senses, and this is not just true in our country, it's true in all countries, you've basically got an oligarchy. You've got extremely wealthy people, and with some exceptions, their worldview is shaped by their own interests. And so when these entities are created by these people, when these entities are financed by and dependent upon, they're calling a lot of the shots. And so, I mean, look at Obama. I mean, we know that presidents don't just do their own thing. He had to raise an enormous amount of money to run for president. And although we like to talk about the huge amounts he raised on the internet from ordinary folks, which he did, he also raised about half of his money from Wall Street. And,
right.
You know, those people are expecting to be able to produce the kind of results that they want to produce through him. And so he is under tremendous pressure. And I would say there is something darker, and that is what happened to John F. Kennedy and what happened to Richard Nixon. And that's, I think, even though my book is ostensibly about the Bushes, what Family of Secrets is really about is it's about these larger forces that shape our history that we don't see, maybe we don't know about, and we certainly, therefore, don't talk much about. John F. Kennedy was doing all kinds of things as president where he was really pushing their buttons. He was a big supporter of nationalist movements all over the world, which threatened, of course, all of these corporate interests, vehemently opposed by both the Pentagon and the CIA. He was attempting to forge a very private peace with Nikita Khrushchev, with Castro, with many, many different enemies. This has only come out in the last few years in very, very interesting documentation that has not made it into the mainstream media. And so he was really, as it turns out, quite a radical as far as those power centers were concerned. And in Family of Secrets, I have four chapters about the Kennedy assassination itself and indications, overwhelming indications, which really surprised me when I started my research, that this was not, in fact, a lone assassin, but rather the result of these very powerful interests wanting John F. Kennedy taken off the scene. Same thing with Richard Nixon. Again, I had always assumed he was the rogue in the Watergate story, but as I spent years researching this and looking at the fingerprints of people around the elder Bush, George H.W. Bush, and the CIA, I began to see that Richard Nixon again had done amazingly the same thing as Kennedy, and so it shows it's not a partisan thing, where he was doing his own secret negotiations. He was not consulting with these people. He was trying to put an end to the Cold War, and Richard Nixon, Watergate, the whole thing, when you study it carefully, it really begins to look factually like a setup, like he was framed and forced from office. Then you get Gerald Ford, who was much more a puppet of the military-industrial complex. It was Ford who brought in Cheney, Rumsfeld, and then George H.W. Bush as director of the CIA, and all of the reforms came to a screeching halt.
Wow. And you mentioned in your piece on Truth Out that those who avoided problems, Johnson, Reagan, and the Bush Jr. and Sr., were presidents that made no problems for the Pentagon and the intelligence chiefs, that they were part of that system. In fact, you know, Bush Sr. was the CIA chief for years before becoming president.
He was not only the CIA chief, but as I reveal in Family of Secrets, documentary evidence overwhelmingly indicates that he was a covert intelligence officer himself for decades before he became CIA.
Right. So to wrap it up, your thoughts on Obama a year after we elected him, is he doing what he needs to do to remain in office, to remain able to try to get through whatever changes he can under this bigger secretive umbrella that is sort of controlling things?
I think he's in a very, very perilous situation. And all things considered, I think he's doing a pretty masterful job of handling this. I think comparatively, healthcare is going to look sort of easy, and even some of these other seemingly intractable things are going to look easy compared to the military situation. He may be simply unable to buck the apparatus. He may have to do what they want in Afghanistan. He may have to stay in Iraq indefinitely. He may be simply unable to do anything about it. My main concern is that we talk about these things, that we push for a national dialogue, because the best way to protect him and to ensure that we begin trying to kind of take back the system is that all of us push for this dialogue to grow, that everybody get better informed, that we have to push the mainstream media to begin finding some way to at least, you know, tacitly acknowledge the gravity of the situation.
And so the whole situation in Afghanistan, and that's something he pushed for during the campaign, too. He kept saying, look, we got to get out of Iraq. Afghanistan is where we need to be. So that sort of goes against the idea that he just learned sort of how much control is held over the office of the presidency by the Pentagon, by the CIA, until he got in office. But are you saying that I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that was a kind of a tactical decision for politics. I think a lot of people understood that the public knew why we went into Afghanistan. It was ostensibly because of 9/11. They understood that. And I think candidates wanting to be taken seriously by the great middle in this country could not seem to be against that particular mission. And I think that was the position he was taking. But the reality is that at some point you begin saying, hey, you know, they haven't taken out al-Qaeda. It's not clear how this impossible mission there is going to do that, or really what it achieves at all.
Right. Now, you know, we've come to the saying too big to fail has unfortunately entered the popular lexicon. In sort of as a parallel, is the CIA too big to fail? Is it impossible to disassemble it at this point?
Well, a number of people have talked about, I know presidents have talked about this in private. I mean, I think America obviously needs an intelligence capability. I'm sure there are hundreds or thousands of people working in those apparatuses who are great patriotic Americans who, you know, who love liberty and believe in it. But I think the institutions themselves are deeply problematical. And there have been points in this country's history where we said we just need to shut something down and start over again. And I think in the case of the CIA, that's the way to go.
Russ Baker, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years will be out in paperback November 10th. Always a fascinating talk with you. We will do it again soon. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
And we are just out of time. Thank you for all the wonderful birthday wishes. I will be back with you tomorrow night here on Air America Radio. Have yourself a wonderful night.